Lachlan Deegan, thank you very much for finding time to talk to Theatre Voice. This is the opening weekend of the Dublin Theatre Festival, so you're presumably fairly up against it, and therefore it's all the more exciting that you've managed to just snatch some time away to talk about the festival. Could you just outline in brief, I suppose, what's up and what's on offer this year, this programme?
Yeah, actually, I'm very happy to announce that I suppose we have more productions actually than last year. This year for the Dublin Theatre Festival or the Ulster Bank Dublin Theatre Festival, people might have expected a retraction, but it's anything but. 31 productions coming from 10 countries around the world, playing in 22 different venues. In 18 days, we have 363 performances, which is a daunting thought at the start of the marathon or the mountain we're about to climb. And a whole series of special events and talks and discussions and whatnot. So yeah, big festival this year. Mm.
And it breaks down into fairly easily understood chunks, doesn't it? You have a very exciting incoming Polish season, and you also have a sort of Irish / language jamboree. I don't know whether you want to start in a sense with the local first and talk about the Irish, I suppose the Beckett / Pinter / Mammoth axis at the. At the gate for start, yeah. For starters.
Yeah, well, the festival has always, I suppose, fulfilled two primary functions in that it brings the best of international work to Dublin, and but it also showcases the best of Irish theatre to the world, and the gate has been presenting work in the festival programme for its entire 53-year history, and some of its greatest successes have actually been, you know, festivals within the festival, you know, the Beckett festivals and the Pinter festivals, primarily and are most notably, which have since toured the world and to enormous acclaim, and this year the gate and Michael Colgan, I suppose, is trying to look at that idea and move it forward, not just celebrating the work of one writer, but I suppose acknowledging, I suppose, the city's great love of language to begin with, but also the impact that one writer has on the other, and the fact that that Pinter simply would not have written the plays that he'd written if Beckett hadn't existed, and similarly Mammoth would not necessarily have written the plays that he did if both writers hadn't preceded him. And, you know, I think the surtitle says it all. It is about the relish of language. This is a city that loves words and has always loved both crafting them and listening to them and reading them. I think the gate season is an acknowledgement of that. But also actually the Irish programme, I suppose I feel that the festival has a particular responsibility to present Irish work and Irish companies that are kicking against the literary tradition, that are trying to create work that might actually struggle to find audiences or find a context outside of the festival period. So we have a new production from Pan Pan, for example, who I suppose are the most international of the Irish theatre companies, in that they're kind of very influenced by, I suppose, a German or European avant-garde aesthetic. A very exciting production of Hamlet, which is kind of completely postmodern reading of the text, where, you know, it's essentially, it opens with an academic declaring that it's actually impossible to contemplate performing Hamlet anymore. And then the director interviews or auditions three different actors for the role, and at the interval the audience have to vote with their feet and walk towards the actor they want to play the role, and the second part of the further kind of dissection of the play. But there's also a new work from Rough Magic, a very, very big, ambitious production from Rough Magic, which was started with a musical commission to look at Rameau's opera version of Phaedra, its connection to kind of Irish traditional music rhythms, which is a fascinating starting point for a piece of theatre, I think. And then Hilary Fanning, a wonderful Irish playwright, was commissioned to work with Ellen Cranage, the composer. And it's been gestating now for about 3 years. We presented it in development very successfully last year. And there's a huge buzz around the production and a huge sense of excitement about its opening. I always feel a huge sense of responsibility to be introducing new artists and new companies to the festival audience and to the platform that the festival programme presents. We have new productions this year from Sarah Jane Scaife, from Una McKevitt, a young director who's working in documentary theatre. A really strong lineup of Irish work, I think, this year.
Do you want to, I suppose, just move on then in that case. You've got I suppose, that one strand, which will obviously appeal to people from overseas as well as Ireland. But the one thing that may most shake the boat, rock the boat here, is the incoming Polish contingent, which should also create waves overseas, perhaps in Britain, as far as Britain as well. Do you want to just explain how long and how tough and how exciting it's been to put this particular strand of work together, and kind of in a sense why it speaks also to the island of today?
Yeah. Well, actually, I was appointed as the director in I was offered the job in December 2006 at a time when the city was changing so fast, and it was really very difficult for both for artists and arts organisations to keep pace with the changes and to comment on them in any way. And one of the things that was happening was a huge change in the demographic of the city. We'd been in an astonishingly homogenous society for so long, and within a period of 15 to 20 years, there was a huge influx of people from China, from Nigeria, from Poland, from all the Eastern European countries. We are, of course, the only European country who didn't put any restrictions on mobility from Eastern Europe because of our workforce, because the economy was booming to such an extent that we needed constant input into the workforce. And the as a result, you know, at one point in a population of a million people, it was our city that had a population of a million people, you had a quarter of a million Poles living here. And when I got the job, I thought, we've got to respond to this. You know, we're an international theatre festival and the city's changing, and the programme's got to reflect that. So I suppose I made a decision very early on that we would have a major season of Polish theatre at the Ulster Bank Dublin Theatre Festival, and began to travel to Poland immediately when I got the job, you know, at least three or four times a year. Seeing work and starting, I suppose, to make the connections that were necessary to put this season together, and they were both starting with artistic conversations, and you know, and it was as early as 2007 in Warsaw, at a showcase of Polish theatre, where I heard a lecture on Lupa and his students and the impact Christian Lupa had on this remarkable young generation of young Polish theatre directors, who were called the Father Killers, and of course the father in question not only being Poland but also Lupa, arguably himself. And I realised, I suppose, that this was the season I wanted to put together, having seen a lot of Polish work, and then started endless conversations and meetings about funding. And one of the things that's really exciting about Poland, I suppose, is an acknowledgement of the strength of its culture, and a belief at government level that exporting Polish culture, or, you know, promoting Poland through its culture abroad, is a priority. We worked with a number of institutes, the Theatre Institute in Warsaw, but also the Adam Mickiewicz Institute, and eventually kind of working directly with the Department of Department of Culture and Heritage in Poland. We put this season together. We were trying to do it in 2009. We realised it was even bigger than we had imagined. We had to postpone it until this year. And I suppose now that it's here, it is about showing some of the best, I think the best international work being made internationally at the moment to Dublin audiences, but also it is generating a real conversation around the changing demographics of the city and the role and responsibilities of arts organisations and artists to respond to that. You know, we've, with support from our own department for tourism, culture and sport here, we have a wraparound season of Polish cultural events, film, music, literature events with various cultural organisations in the city, including the Irish Film Institute, where we're, I suppose, trying to get a city-wide celebration of Polish culture. But also then at the end of the festival, we're running a day-long symposium on the role of culture and arts organisations, particularly in terms of the cultural impact of migration and issues of, I suppose, of social justice. I want this season to be a provocation to, you know, to the city and to the nation about how we respond to this such seismic changes that have happened in Irish society in recent years.
I just wonder whether you can just pick up a few of the details or give a summary of the major work that's coming from Poland, and also maybe with an underlying question is that provocation about, I mean, inevitably, of course, this is work in that will be reviewed in some form of translation. It'll be there will be surtitles or some form of transposition. But is it the case that Polish theatre has a generally a more visual, physical in sense, total theatre response to the modern world than Irish theatre's had? And is that sort of linguistic, verbal interest that you talked about at the beginning of the programme, is that something that's being held in contest by this element of the programme, do you think? That the idea that the best way, in fact, of looking at the world we live in now may not come primarily or in the most immediate way through language, because, of course, language requires a degree of perhaps cultural heritage that none of us can necessarily count on anymore, I suppose. Is that partly what's going on there with this programme?
It is, and I suppose it's in many ways that the international programme of the festival for over 50 years has always fulfilled that function, in that once a year the Irish theatre community feels inadequate, despite the fact that we're lauded around the world on a regular basis about the quality of our playwriting and the success of our theatre abroad. Once a year everybody takes a deep breath and goes, oh my god, how good are the Poles going to be? And you know, I suppose Polish theatre is in that great European tradition. It is a director's theatre. And I think that is the significant difference, in that we are, you know, the superstars of Polish theatre are Christian Lupe, whose production of Factory 2 we're presenting, and indeed this new generation that have grown up around Lupe, including Gregor Szajina, whose production of Teorema we're presenting, and Jan Tlata's The Danton Case, but other directors like Christian Warlikowski, they are who are being celebrated. You know, they walk down the street. I've walked down the street in Warsaw with Gregor Szajina, and people stop and ask for his autograph. You know, when the actors and checked into the hotel here in Dublin, the Polish receptionists almost fainted. Like, it was an amazing reaction. You know, and when Jarzyna arrived, you know, it was like, you know, a rock star was checking into the hotel, and I suppose the theatre directors in Poland are revered and they are iconic, and as a result, the work is it is a director's vision, and it is a very, like, a Teorema in particular, for example, it's a very beautiful, elegant, painterly work, but also, you know, and it is actually advertised as almost wordless, but I was struck seeing it last night here in Dublin, how it's also a celebration of Pasolini's writings, you know, and in the post-show interview, Gregor was actually talking about the influence of Pasolini's poetry and his essays and his writings and their impact on the show, and even in translation, he's used a number of the poems as and writings as monologues at certain points in a near wordless production, and there's a real sense actually of the even in surtitle in translation, of the power of the words. In those plays, and the Danton Case indeed is a 56-year-old Polish play that's seldom performed, which, you know, so, you know, it's not as if words have been abandoned altogether.
And just to kind of, I suppose, pick up the fact that you started that interrogation or investigation into international theatre, particularly Polish theatre, when you sort of started the jobs. In the meantime, and almost as recently as sort of last night, you know, the Irish economy has hit very, very rocky waters. And, you know, looking at the sort of screaming headlines about, you know, a sort of debt rate of 100% of GDP, does that alter the kind of context in which it's appearing now? In that, I suppose, is it that on one level, I suppose, you're looking to Poland as somehow I don't know, perhaps an economic model of survival, or indeed, is there a feeling that creativity, in a sense, or over ambition, is the only thing that's going to rescue Ireland from a cycle of sort of almost economic and psychological depression? That you need something really sort of extraordinary and head turning to kind of bring things out of this strange kind of mire. I don't know. It's a peculiar time to be looking outwards at all, I suppose, because every way you look in the Irish press, it's inwards that they're turning to try and ask questions.
Yes, and indeed the bank guarantee, which, you know, some argue is one of the reasons why our recession is as deep as it is, was announced on the second day of the 2008 festival, and I remember being so far too busy to kind of pay any attention to the headlines that were something to do with the banks. And indeed, you know, the full cost of the bank bailout was announced 2 years later in the middle of the theatre festival. And it is an interesting time in Dublin for artists and arts organisations, or in Ireland rather, because there is, I suppose, a sense that the artists were finding it very difficult to keep up and to comment on society while things were booming and changing so fast, and that now actually we have to step up to the plate again and we have to take responsibility and play a significant role. You know, as part of that, there's been a galvanizing around a national campaign for the arts, which is about protecting arts funding, but it's also, I suppose, about having a conversation again with the nation about the role that the arts and artists and culture can play, not only in terms of, you know, economic regeneration and re-establishing Ireland's damaged reputation abroad, but in kind of, I suppose, asking questions and pointing the way in terms of trying to find solutions, both economic solutions, but also kind of, you know, a sense of, I suppose, healing some of the kind of scars that have been left behind as a result of the economic chaos. But I suppose as a director of a theatre festival, I've been torn even this week already in the like, what is our function, you know, in the middle of like a great psychological depression for the country. And, you know, we opened the festival with Circa, which is, you know, an Australian physical show, which is a huge celebration of just human achievement, with these incredible performers who can do incredible things. And it is, I thought this is the perfect show in time of depression, because, or in time of a recession, because it's diversion and it's entertainment and it's allowing people to kind of come to the theatre and forget about the headlines and the mess that's happening outside. And yet last night at the opening of Teorema, I had forgotten, I suppose, or hadn't realised how that production was going to resonate in Dublin at this time. It was somewhat accidental in that it opens with an industrialist being interrogated by the audience with the lights up on the audience, and like a public forum is taking place where this man is being questioned about his morality, and it was an incredibly powerful moment in Dublin to be sitting with 500 people who were seeing, you know, a champion of industry taking centre stage and being grilled in that way, and then to see the downfall of him and his family as a result of the complacency of the bourgeoisie in Poland. But it's just the resonance of that piece last night in Dublin at this time was so keenly felt by the audience. And I sat there going, no, actually the function of the festival is to comment. The function of the festival is to get involved in the discussion that is happening. And I suppose, you know, that's the dual purpose of art, maybe, encapsulated.
And agreed by the same token, I suppose, you have John Gabriel Borkman at the Abbey in a production that stars Alan Rickman, amongst others. Mm. Again, a play that looks at, I suppose, a kind of degree of deep ingrained compromise and where that leads a human being. I mean, you talked about the Gates program within a program. Mm. How much of the Gates work, and indeed how much of the Abbey's work, do you, in a sense, micro or macro manage? How do these those particular other elements of the program come together? Is everything agreed, as it were, box by box with you, or does it come in a more fluid way to be in the final?
Yeah.
Program.
No, I suppose the Gate and the Abbey's relationship with the festival is unique in that they are, you know, they're theatrical institutions which both predate the festival and indeed were very instrumental in the survival of the festival in 1959 after it was closed down by the state, essentially, for its anti-clerical stance. And the relationship, I suppose, it is... one of the reasons the festival is as successful as it has been is because we have productions of the calibre that the Gate and the Abbey present each year. You know, and there are festivals around the world who would kill for productions from the Gate Theatre Dublin and the Abbey Theatre on an annual basis. And it is a different conversation than I would have with the independent Irish theatre that we present, which is essentially curated by the artistic director in the, you know, people are pitching, Irish artists and companies are pitching ideas to me for the festival far in excess of those that we can accommodate. Whereas the conversation with the Gate and the Abbey is a much more nuanced one and much more subtle one along the lines of what might work in the festival, in that there's an expectation. In the past, I think particularly the Abbey would put on its Sunday best for the festival, in that whichever the best play, new play that it had in ready to go is what it would present during the festival. Whereas both the Gate and the Abbey, I think, are now much more sophisticated in the way that they program work in the festival, or the way in that they're very aware of the international focus that's on the city and on Irish theatre at that time. People like yourself coming to the festival, but also a lot of international presenters are here. So the conversations, but it is it's a unique relationship that the festival has with both the Gate and the Abbey.
And indeed helps it to survive the toughest of times, I imagine, because you have this input from these two other relatively stable organisations. How likely was it, is it at all, that a festival of this magnitude can't be sustained given not only the kind of actual fiscal reality, but also, I suppose, the inevitable baying voices which suggest that culture isn't as important as, you know, XYZ public services? I mean, do you feel that there was ever a moment where things have got so grim that the actual ongoing, both survival or even just the nature of the festival would be kind of affected by the money side of things?
Yeah, I don't, like, I actually think we're in a very strong financial position. You know, like, you know, the festival is budgeted on an annual basis and doesn't have significant reserves. You know, so there's always a huge pressure on us to achieve our box office target this year. I'm happy to say we're almost there already this year. But, you know, and the festival almost went under and disappeared in the late 80s, early 90s, and when, you know, during the last recession, when things got very bad indeed, and one of the only years it didn't happen was in the 80s when there were cuts to arts funding, and the Arts Council made a hugely kind of misguided decision where they decided to cut all the festivals that that they would invest in the making of the art, and that the festivals, if something had to go, were superfluous, and I don't think that thinking exists anymore. And in fact, you know, there was very significant cuts to theatre funding last year. A lot of companies lost their funding entirely, and we were cut by only 10%, which of course is a significant cut. But we were prioritised in the Arts Council's eyes because of our perceived strategic importance to Irish theatre. And I think the festival is regarded as very significant, not just in artistic terms, but also, you know, in terms of the kind of the it is one of the leading cultural events in annually in Ireland, and I think it's hugely valued now, actually. And you know, I think it's inevitable that our program will have to contract somewhat, you know, in the difficult couple of years ahead. And we will have to budget and manage more. Our financial management will have to be more prudent. Even though God knows it's hard to imagine how it could be more prudent than it currently is. But you know, that these are realities being faced by all businesses and all kind of sectors of the economy. Mm. But I'm very optimistic that actually the festival is well positioned to ride out this recession.
Mm-hmm. I suppose the final point is it's called the Ulster Bank Dublin. Mm. Theatre Festival, because that's your
title sponsor.
Primary sponsors. Mm. Is it possible, is it conceivable that when you are to some extent endorsed, supported by a bank, can you yourselves mount the kind of work that critiques the system that we're all in, I suppose? I mean, it feels as though to some extent bankers still call the shots, both in terms of businesses and almost perhaps the way we think about them, because who are we to bite the hand that feeds us? What do you say to people who say, well, where's the big play about the banking crisis? Or is that your job even?
Well, I say obviously Enron, and I say obviously John Gabriel Borkman, and indeed was reminded last night at Te Rema. Phaedra is kind of a coruscating critique of recent excesses in the Irish economy. And in actual fact, and it's a question I've been asked a few times this year, actually. And the simple answer is has been absolutely no artistic interference at any level, and it certainly never has been during my time at the festival, from either a board level or Arts Council level or from any sponsors. And I think it's actually a huge compliment to Ulster Bank that they are not only continuing to sponsor the festival at a very difficult time in the banking sector here in Ireland, but also, you know, I think are facilitating quite a complex discussion about the role of about the kind of economic collapse that is going on, and allowing artists to freely kind of comment and reflect And you know, and there is a remarkable amount of work in this year's program, that is, you know, that indeed John Gabriel Borkman is about a disgraced banker, and it was what's also interesting, just as a total aside, which struck me last night watching Teorema, is that in both Teorema and in John Gabriel Borkman, the disgrace is felt at home. There, that you know, the way in which I suppose you kind of. You question the psyche of industrialists or capitalists is looking at the domestic situation, which is a remarkable similarity, actually, in both Ibsen's work and Pasolini's work.
Lachlan Dean, thank you very much for that.
And that's all.